Isn't it good to be back together again with one another today? We give thanks to God for another day of life and living. And we're privileged to be able to read the Word of God and talk about God here on the radio and on the internet via the podcast. We remember Christian people worldwide who suffer under persecution, severe persecution. They may not even have access to radio. For example, in the nation of China, which is very close to my heart, the church is undergoing a severe test again as we speak. If you're a Christ follower, then these brothers and sisters require our love, support, and prayers. Please join me in praying for them. Lord Jesus, you guaranteed us that we will be persecuted for our belief in you. I pray now for believers all over the world who, because they have remained faithful to you, they're facing real serious threats to their lives. Jail, prison, separation from families, churches destroyed, and false witnesses and lies being used against them. Have mercy today on those who are suffering. Grant them your grace and peace. And help us not to take for granted these times we have with you and one another. Rather, help us redeem the time to learn everything we can about you, our great God. Help us to recognize that one day, if not already, we'll be a persecuted minority as well. Indeed, your church, your people in so-called free societies like this one are also facing tough tests. And so we come to you now and ask you to speak to us clearly from your word about your power. Amen. So we are talking about the power of God, and last time we saw the power of God open up the floodgates of water on the world in the great flood of Genesis 7. The Lord used his power and floods out sinners as gushing water prevails on the earth 150 days. So as God used his power to bring the world and human persons into existence in Genesis 1, so he uses his power to extinguish violent and evil men and women along with all other forms of life in Genesis 7. God does whatever God wants to do, and no one and nothing can stop him. We like to talk about Mother Nature. There is no such a thing. God controls the weather. He can start and stop a storm just like that. Still, Genesis chapter 8 opens with these words, "Then God remembered Noah." As God promised, Noah and his family were saved, as were the animals on the ark. And as they emerged from the ark, they found dry land, and history resumed under the covenant of God represented in the rainbow. To this very day, after the rains, often you can see a bright rainbow. That's God's promise. He will never again destroy the earth by floodwaters. He gives the rainbow as a reminder of his covenant promise to Noah. Now, to be sure, God will destroy the earth again, but that time has not come. And when it does come, it will not be water, but rather fire. You can read about that in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and you should read it. But today, I want to move us along to begin to see the power of Almighty God at work in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being confronted with God, who is power, through his Trinitarian nature. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And now it is time to drop into the life of Christ and watch his power minister to people who are in desperate need of his touch, as we are at this very moment. To do this, I want to plant us in one chapter of the Gospels, and I have chosen the Gospel of Luke. In particular, let's live in the 8th chapter. So when you have your copy of the Bible open to Luke chapter 8, you'll see that it's a long chapter, 56 verses, and we're going to cut into the true story at verse 22. We will look at 4 episodes in the ministry of Christ in which he uses his power to calm the storm, exorcise or cast out demons from a man, heal a bleeding woman, and raise up a little girl from the dead. This all happened, and Luke records it for us in a compelling manner. So come along with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, and verse 22. I will read verses 22 through 25. Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they were sailing along, Jesus fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water? They obey him." That's Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. We could spend days here, but let me just draw out for us three insights related to the power of Jesus. First, notice that out on the lake, as they were sailing in the boat, Jesus was asleep. For all of you napping Christians out there who enjoy a sweet snooze on the couch or even at the office, here is your justification for doing so. This season is excellent nap weather, and now when challenged, you can say, "Hey, if Jesus napped, then I can get in a few winks too." You can try that out on your spouse or your boss. Anyway, Jesus is asleep. I think this is reflective of Christ's humanity, of course. After a day of teaching, read the earlier part of Luke 8, he is tired. But I also see his power at work here. Notice that he is not at all fazed by the storm. The water rushing into the boat and the fierce wind are not what wake him up. The frightened disciples wake him. And so why is it that the Lord can be sound asleep in such treacherous weather? He rests because he knows he is God, and he has the power to tell that nasty weather to end, and with just one simple word, it will. Jesus knows his own power. Second, look at and listen to verse 24. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. Jesus calmed the storm with his power. This is exactly the testimony of God found within the Psalms. Listen, for example, to Psalm 89 and verse 9. This is Psalm 89, verse 9. "You rule the swelling of the seas. When its waves rise, you still them, and you there is God." The psalmist is saying that God bosses around the sea and stills the waves. And later, read Psalm 106, verse 9. Psalm 106, verse 9. God has the power to quiet storms, and Jesus demonstrates this in the boat on the rocky Sea of Galilee to his closest followers. And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. Critics often say this text is not really about Jesus having power over nature, but rather simply a nice, sweet little tale of him calming the disciples. But the text itself denies the critics' claim. Look at the word rebuked. Jesus is rebuking the weather, not the men. In Matthew's account of this same story, the disciples say, "Even the winds and the sea obey him." Jesus rebukes, or Jesus commands, the wind and the water. That's far more than simply calming the disciples. This miracle over weather is as powerful as the miracles done in people's lives that we will come to next in Luke 8. Anyone who suggests that Jesus' power is a limited power, such that he cannot control meteorological conditions, is wrong. Very wrong. I am giving you three insights into this scene that relate well to the power of God. And the third is this: Jesus' power is seen in his question to his intimate followers, "Where is your faith?" That question is in verse 25. Yes, I think that question to these men at this particular point speaks to Christ's power in this sense. They should have known by now that Jesus is all-powerful because of the other miracles he had already performed. Earlier in Luke, demons have been cast out of a man. Peter's mother-in-law has been healed, and Peter was in the boat with Jesus during this storm. He must have forgotten about his wife's mom. A leper has been cleansed, a paralytic walks, there is another healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus heals a centurion's servant. The men in the boat with Jesus observed all of that miracle-working power, and still they are full of such fear. That should not be. Jesus has displayed his power already over and over again. Now, I am not trying to be too harsh on the disciples. I also know of Jesus' power in my life. but still, I sometimes doubt it. Not that long ago, my wife and I were visiting Hong Kong during a vicious typhoon. Those of you not used to typhoons can think of this as a hurricane. Winds outside our windows were hurtling past and then right at us at 145 miles per hour. I started off the raging storm feeling confident, but when the building we were staying in, 41 stories high, began to sway, then I panicked. I got scared, and I started to really wonder how structurally sound this building was. All the engineers in the world assuring me that skyscrapers in cities like Hong Kong are built to bend a bit could not calm my beating heart when we were in like hour 5 of an unrelenting hurricane. That day I could well have reacted to Jesus the same way my predecessors in the faith did. Master, Master, we are perishing. Come on, wake up, Jesus. I understand their feeling. But the Lord says the same to me as he said to them. Where is your faith? Good point, Master Jesus. These are three insights I want to share with you today from the account of Jesus calming the storm in Luke 8, verses 22 to 25. We have seen clearly his power on display. God the Father is all-powerful. Jesus, God's Son, is all-powerful. He's the omnipotent God. And when you come back next time, we will continue in Luke chapter 8. I suggest you spend some time later today, this evening, for tomorrow, reading Luke 8, verses 22 to 56. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 56. It's very readable. The more you read the Bible for yourself, the more you will get out of my teaching. So please, pick up a copy of the Bible and read. Also, invite a friend to join you for our times together. We're just getting going in Luke 8 and in our series on the power of God. So this week is a good time to invite others along. I look forward to our time together tomorrow, right here on God Is.